Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Let me real quickly get into a little bit. I'm just going to do a little short intro on the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, of course, follows the Gospels, and it was written by Luke. Most of us know that. And the book of Acts is really like part two of Luke's gospel. Luke, if you read the first chapter of the gospel of Luke, you don't have to turn there, but you can. In Luke 1, the gospel of Luke, Luke writes this. He says, "Inasmuch as many as have taken in hand and set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, O excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." So in Luke chapter 1, Luke tells Theophilus that he's going to write this narrative of the life of Christ, all the things that took place in the life of Christ, all the works that he did, all the things that he accomplished. And then in chapter 1 of Acts, Luke writes this. He says, "The former account," now he's talking about the book of Luke, he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up after, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also predestined himself alive after his sufferings, and many infallible proofs being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So Luke wrote both Luke and he writes the book of Acts, and he actually addresses it to this guy Theophilus. And we don't really know much about Theophilus other than Luke thought a lot of him because he called Theophilus, "O excellent Theophilus." So he was either a great friend or he was a great saint, had become a great saint. So Luke is addressing this to Theophilus. But Theophilus also, his name means lover of God or friend of God. So Luke writes to Theophilus, and the book of Acts covers about a 30 to 35 year period. We think about it, when you look from the first chapter to the last chapter of Acts, it covers about 33 years, right about. Interesting that Christ's life was about 33 years. But when you look at how much is in there, the action that's taken place, it's phenomenal. It's exciting. But he's writing the book of Acts as a record. But what I love about the book of Acts, and we're going to get into it, I don't want to get into a lot of it right now, but if there's really one thing we see in the book of Acts is we see the Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers, in the lives of Christians. The Holy Spirit working in the lives of Christians. We see the gospel going out as Jesus Christ empowers believers through the Holy Spirit. In fact, maybe the verse that kind of captures the whole book of Acts is in Acts 1:8, where it says, where Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit, that he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit. In fact, let's turn there. Why don't you turn to Acts 1:8? Acts 1:8. And Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's what the book of Acts is really all about. It's about Christians who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to the world. And what I love about the book of Acts is that it's kind of an unfinished book, because the body of Christ, followers, well, that's us too. And that same commission, that same promise is given to each and every one of us as followers of Christ to go out into the world and to live for Jesus, to be witnesses for Christ. That word power is the Greek words, you guys are familiar with this, dunamis. and it means power, where we get our word dynamite. And I think most guys in here like the idea of power, right? Man, I want that car with 500 horsepower. I don't, because I'd be dead, but I'll stay with my truck. But most guys like power. You like power in your car. You like power in your more RAM in your computer. You like power in your, I don't know. I remember one time this distinct difference in power was I was riding a horse, and I used to have a horse, a quarter horse, and we were riding down at the river bottom, and these guys came up, and they were actually LA Mounties. And so we were riding with them, and we were kind of going through the river bottom and all that, riding through the water and stuff. And one of the guys asked me if I wanted to ride his horse, and his horse made mine look like a Shetland pony. But the guy said, "Do you want to ride my horse?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'd love to ride your horse, you know." So I got on the horse, and I kicked the horse like it was my horse, you know, just kind of gave it a little tap. And man, in this course, it was a Morgan Quarter, and this thing took off so fast, and it was like so much power. I mean, it kind of scared me. It did scare me, actually. And the horse was running really fast, but finally I kind of tamed him down, and we went back. But it was like this power that was under control, kind of. I think he thought he was under control. He wasn't. But there was this distinction in power. And for us as believers, there is definitely a distinction in our lives when we are being indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I think all of us can look back even in our Christian lives and go, man, I had quenched the Spirit. I was living in sin, or I was not relying on the Holy Spirit in my life. And, you know, we see the ramifications of that. We see how our lives can, you know, quickly start to kind of unravel, you know. But God wants each and every one of us to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus promised to the disciples, not only in the upper room, but before he ascended on high, before he went to be with the Lord. And I'm going to read Luke 24, 46 through 53, and we're going to wrap up here. But in Luke 24, verse 46, listen to this. It says, "Then he said to them," Jesus speaking to the disciples, "thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And now it came to pass that while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God and blessing God. And this was the promise that Jesus gave. And this is exactly what happened. And this is the story of Acts, is that the believers were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and took the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is what we're going to be learning. The story of Acts is really the story of the continued work of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of his followers. We're going to be reading it, but check this out, guys. We are going to be experiencing it too. We're going to be experiencing it because God wants to fill us all with the power of his Spirit. So even as we're looking back at history and seeing God work through men and women, seeing the church grow and do what the church is called to do, we're going to be experiencing it together. Experiencing his power in his life so we can take the gospel to our homes as fathers, as sons, as brothers, going in and living for Jesus. I'll tell you, one of the big things in my life when I was not walking with the Lord, 20 years old, was seeing my brother's life totally transformed by the Holy Spirit. I was coming home at 2, 3 in the morning, and my brother was crazy. And he'd be in bed like at 10 o'clock. I was, what's wrong with this guy? Is he sick? But he gave up, you know, the partying. He was living for Christ. But, you know, we have the opportunity to be that witness in our homes. And you know what? Quite honestly, we can't be the fathers that we're called to be. We can't be the sons that we're called to be. We can't be the brothers that we're called to be. We can't be the husbands that we're called to be, or even the grandparents that we're called to be, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't effectively be the workers that God has called us to be. We have doctors in here, lawyers. We have construction workers. We have car salesmen. We have engineers. You guys, there's probably every trade represented in here, every line of work. And we can't do any of them apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can do them, but not as God wants us to do them. Not effectively like God wants us to do them. But we can in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't be the neighbors that God's called us to be. We can't be the friends that God has called us to be. We can't be the friend, you know, who maybe you're coaching softball or football or soccer or whatever your kid's recreation is. And God has called us to be that light. But we need to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, so this is what's exciting. As we go through this book of Acts, not only are we going to be looking back, but we're going to be experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Amen? And I think what better thing to do than right now, before we break off into groups, than to pray and ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit even now, so that we can not only finish this commitment to valor, but that we can also be effective and impacting in the world around us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, and Lord, we're all flawed, but we love You. And Lord, we're Your followers. And Lord, we want to be effective in our ministries. We want to be effective in our homes as fathers, as husbands, as grandparents. We want to be that light that You want us to be. Jesus, John the Baptist told us that we would be baptized from on high with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With fire. And Lord, we want that passion in our life. We want that impact in our own life. So, Lord, we even pray right now that You would fill each and every one of us with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know we're sealed. We know that You dwell in us, but we need that power, that dynamite power, to affect and to live for You. So we ask for the filling now. And we thank You because it's a promise that You gave, and You keep Your promises. So thank You for the filling, Lord. We're looking forward to all You're going to do this year in our lives. It's exciting to think we're going to be Lincoln Shields together, Lord, encouraging each other, exhorting one another, but Lord, also taking Your message out to this lost world. So we commit this time to You now. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.